The one true eternal God has no beginning and no end. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God by His Word created out of nothing, all universes, the heavens and the earth, all things, visible and invisible. Our Father God, our heavenly potter, working through His eternal Word by His Spirit, His breath, made the first man. He made Adam from the clay, the Adam, the red earth, according to Genesis. And from Adam's what? Rib, God formed Eve. According to the Holy Bible, all men and women, all boys and girls, all of us are created by God. We all descended from Adam and Eve. We each owe our being to God. We owe our lives to the holy triune God. Sadly, in Adam and Eve, we all fell. We all fall short of God's glory in the Garden of Eden and in our daily lives. Not willing to be the creatures God made us, we all believe the lies of the devil. And with Satan's evil help, we bring upon ourselves the wages of our sin, our selfishness, our self-righteousness. We all disobey and shake our fist at our Lord. We rebel. And the result? We die. We die in spirit, soul, and body. So, on this eve of the first Sunday of Advent, we need to hear a key scripture from Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Heaven and earth will end, but not the words of Jesus. This present age's heaven and earth, including all of us creatures, will pass away. We will all pass away and perish. But the good news is that God's word, the words of Jesus, will never pass away. The words of Jesus last forever. God's words never die. And in tonight's four appointed scriptures, let's apply to our lives the words of Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away, but say it with me, but my words will never pass away, or not pass away. That's the words of Jesus. We start with Isaiah. Study Isaiah, and why? Well, it's the most quoted book from the Old Testament in the New Testament. Isaiah preaches one true God. Isaiah proclaims God's law, condemning our sin, our serving false gods. Isaiah proclaims God's gospel, the Lord mercifully forgiving us, repentant sinners, making us new for serving the Lord. From Luther on Isaiah, in Concordia's The Lutheran Study Bible, here's a nugget that I found for us, for our churches today. This is what Luther says. As godly preachers now and always do and must do with their people, so Isaiah too keeps the people in check with threats of punishment and promises of good. The Lord gives vision for Isaiah to see through his Old Testament days to point to God's word fulfilled in Jesus in the New Testament. God's Messiah, the anointed one, the suffering servant by whose stripes we are all healed, Jesus, will return to judge all people, past, present, and future. Jesus will create forever new heavens and a new earth for true believers in Him. Tonight's Isaiah reading is near the end of his prophetic vision, and we are in the middle of Isaiah's powerful prayer to the Lord our Father. With Isaiah, we also may cry out to God in prayer that He would rend the heavens. Father God, cut the shroud, remove the veil that in our sinfulness keeps us from seeing You, the Holy One of Israel, come down to us like you did, Almighty God, at Mount Sinai when you appeared to Moses and then to the people of Israel after the Exodus from Egypt. And guess what? Before we even pray, our Heavenly Father hears our prayer. He sends His only begotten Son to be the God incarnate, the true God incarnate, God in the flesh. God the Son, Jesus, was conceived in the virgin womb of the Virgin Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord indeed came down from heaven for us. God the Son became one of us, yet without sinning. The sinless Son of God learned, though, obedience through suffering. According to Scripture, He keeps on teaching us, and His words active tonight are that His words will never or not pass away. Crucified for our sins, Jesus destroys the work of the devil in us. Jesus rose bodily for our justification. What does that mean? To set believers daily right with God. And fulfilling Isaiah's prayer, the mountains did quake, remember, at God's presence on Good Friday. And then inside the Jerusalem temple, at God's in the Holy of Holies, remember that was only reserved for once a year, the great, the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies, and then between that and the holy place, reserved only for the priest, there was a huge curtain. And that day on Good Friday, that curtain was torn in hand by the hand of God from the top to the bottom. It was torn in such a way that it demonstrated that God had come to tear that curtain in half, showing us that Jesus is both priest and sacrifice. And our great high priest, Jesus alone, gives believers in Jesus Christ alone access to God. The sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus, takes away the sin of the world. He takes away your sin and my sin by His word. And by His grace, through faith in Christ alone, His words keep on working, restoring us to our heavenly, holy, heavenly Father. When also did the mountains quake? Remember Easter Sunday morning when Christ's tomb was opened. And Jesus walked out bodily resurrected. Take and hold yourself and remember, this was not just a ghost. This was Jesus bodily striding forth, bodily in His new resurrected body for us. Why? To breathe His Holy Spirit into each and every one of us. To come to us, even as He comes now tonight through His Word. To breathe into us through His everlasting words in Christian baptism, and in His supper for us believers. Why? That by receiving Jesus, living in His grace and His truth, we also might bodily become victorious over sin, death, and the devil. God, the Holy Spirit, works through His word in us this very evening. We are equipped for witness to the one true living God in our families, among our friends, and with our neighbors. With Isaiah, we learn from ancient times, no one has heard, nor perceived, nor a God, nor seen a God besides Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am. He comes to us most clearly in Jesus. And we live in a time today like Isaiah's. We worship many false gods and idols, or we're tempted to be agnostic, not knowing God, we claim. Or maybe we have friends who are among the atheists, claiming no God. And then there are the anti-theists. And these include some of the brightest, educated, most influential thinkers and media personalities and entertainers working anti-God, against God. So what can we do about these pressures, these troubles? Grow daily deeper into God's Word, into Holy Scripture. Take to heart Jesus' words that will not pass away. Humble ourselves under God's Word, the final authority and norm for all people. Read Bible-based books. Hear and view solid resources. Are you thinking of Advent, Christmas, and future gifts for, of course, first of all, yourself. No, just teasing. For yourself, for your family, for your friends. But as you're thinking about a friend or a family member, consider some gifts like these. From Concordia in St. Louis, the Lutheran Study Bible, and recently released Companions for the Old and New Testament. These are out on display in the narthex, too, so you can take a look at them. Last week, I brought you some ones for children and the children in your life, and Concordia, thank God, is a solid Lutheran Christian publishing house. And so as you think about your homes, your families, things that we can learn from God's Word is why I brought these. And for example, my son Nathaniel is visiting from Chicago, where he works in research towards a PhD in physics, and he and I have been benefiting from reading a recent book from Concordia published this year called Faith and Science in a Skeptical Age. Or you can check out Sola Publishing. That has strong connections with our NALC. Sola has many good, solid Lutheran Christian books and study guides with all kinds of for all kinds of ages and interests. And how many of you have heard of C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity? M-E-R, Mere Christianity, some of you. So that's another book, good book to read and recommend. You know that C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, when he was a little boy, he was a believer in the Lord. But then when he went to school and got more educated, he became a really stout atheist and wandered away from God for many years. And later, as an adult professor, came back to the faith and was really converted, he says, through and surprised by God's grace in his life through God's Word and friends like J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, and some of those friends. So think about your friends and family that you might want to witness to that way and encourage. Some years ago, maybe more than 10 years ago, my son Nathaniel introduced me to books by a former atheist, Lee Strobel. Ever heard of him? He wrote The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and The Case for a Creator. And in recent years, he and his wife have updated the DVDs by the same titles, and those are powerful teaching tools as well, and updated the expert witnesses that Lee Strobel works with. Or you can buy or borrow the DVD, God's Not Dead. Some of us have watched that. You can use Pastor Dave's discussion sheet and see how you want to maybe work with that with your family, friends, or neighbors in God's Word. So check out the display table and think about investing, if not, you know, right away, but into the future for these kinds of resources. Basically, I want to point out that this becomes part of your spiritual tool chest. So what is in your spiritual tool chest? Everyone's got one. You've either got one that's got good tools in it or maybe not so good, but you can put in good tool chests, good scriptural tools to build ourselves up in the true faith in the one, only, holy, three-in-one triune God. And so then with Isaiah, we see through Scripture the living God actively working. Our Lord performs mighty deeds, working through His abiding Word in us who wait for Him. That's often hard to do, but we need to wait upon the Lord. And His law convicts us. We are unclean with the leprosy of our sin. Our self-righteous deeds are polluted garments, filthy rags. We all decay, fade like a leaf. Our sins, like a wind, sweep us away. As sinners, none of us really calls upon the name of God. And yet, God's gospel frees us. Freedom comes in the Word of God, as God our Father is our heavenly potter. He cleanses the clay of our lives. He washes us with His water. He redeems us. He reshapes us daily for joyfully serving and glorifying His awesome, holy, powerful name. Once on a Bible field trip when I was a college student, one summer in Israel, we got to see a potter. How tough the potter can be on the clay, working that clay until the clay is just the right texture. And yet how gentle and careful the potter is in shaping the clay for His good purpose and pleasure. Our heavenly potter keeps working through Isaiah's prayer in our day. God's abiding work and words work through His clay to reach out to others through us. And so I ask you this evening, in your life, who does the Lord want you to work with, to be shaped into a clay vessel or clay vessels with you to glorify Jesus? Who is that person that God is especially calling you to be shaped in His name? The prayer of Isaiah leads us then to also apply God's word in the psalm tonight. We learn from Psalm 80 that God is our shepherd. And we ask that we would see in this that our great good shepherd Jesus, whose words will not pass away, will stir up His might for us and save us. And we ask that God the Son of Man, strong to save us, will redeem us. May He make more sons of Adam and more daughters of Eve among us to live fully for God alone and call upon the name of our Lord. The Lord God of hosts, Jehovah God of heaven's armies. Can you picture the heaven's armies and our Lord commanding them all? Can and will restore us. His light in Christ Jesus most clearly will shine from His face to save us. And so, who will you go humbly this week to reach out with these kinds of words during this first week of Advent? Whose heart will you soon touch with Jesus' words that will not pass away? You see, Isaiah's vision prayer and the psalm word pictures are Old Testament portions of Scripture of God's Word fulfilled in Jesus in the New Testament, in God the Messiah, the true Messiah, God's Christ in the New Testament. And according to good tradition, after the Apostle Matthew first wrote for the New Testament in Hebrew, Mark based his gospel for the Greek-speaking Roman Empire. According to tradition, Peter, the one who's the source for this gospel, preaching as an eyewitness, possibly getting all the way to Rome. And those sermons are collected in the book of Mark. And I encourage you to read Mark's gospel in your Advent devotions, and you'll see key Old Testament scriptures fulfilled. And for us then to apply well God's word from tonight's gospel reading, we need to highlight more of Mark chapter 13. Jesus has not yet been betrayed, arrested, falsely tried, mocked, beaten, convicted, tortured, and crucified for our sins. We are in Holy Week, 2 days before the Passover. Jesus is coming out of the temple, and one of His disciples voices amazement. Look at all these temple buildings, and wow, these monumental stones. And Jesus responds that not one stone will be left upon another. And they cross over and go up the Mount of Olives, and there in this gospel we're told that Peter, James, and John, sitting across opposite the temple, and Andrew, then privately asked Jesus, when will these things happen? And Jesus warns and encourages them in describing the future beginning of the birth pangs. He prepares His four chosen apostles for the persecution they will experience as they bear witness to Him in the years following His bodily resurrection and ascension. The apostles and the other disciples of Jesus will be hated for the name of Jesus, for the sake of the name of Jesus. Families will be torn apart and betray one another. And Jesus says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus prepares His first century disciples to be ready to flee, to run away from Jerusalem from this horrible tribulation. So part of Christ's prophecy had specific fulfillment in that time, in that lifetime of His first disciples in the Roman siege and destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. At the same time, Jesus is weaving and foreshadowing cycles of persecution against believers who proclaim His word. The New Testament end times begin when? With the death and resurrection of Jesus. And from generation to generation, we are still in one sinful generation of people right now, since the time of the garden till this present time, a sinful generation from beginning to end. And Jesus makes clear in Mark chapter 13 a very key verse that most people don't pay attention to, and I'm going to read it very carefully. Jesus insists and says that the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. I'll read that again. The gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. Now, I checked on Google recently. We've got about 7 billion people in this world, and only 2 billion, according to the good statistics that you estimate, 2 billion out of 7 billion, only 2 billion are considered Christian, at least in name only, nominal Christians. How many of these 2 billion out of 7 billion are devoted disciples and daily followers of Jesus? Many less. So, we and his future disciples have much work to do in meeting the need that the Lord's gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And in response to this need, what will each one of you, and what will I do? What will we do? In response to God's word, some of what I've shared in this sermon so far give you specific encouragements for building up your spiritual tool chest, for reaching out to others with the words of Jesus that will not pass away. Be encouraged, knowing too that from the time of Peter and his first disciples up to our day, we keep hearing of what Jesus describes as wars and rumors of wars, trials and tribulations. There are more birth pangs, more budding of the leaves on the fig tree. In our days, families are also torn apart. Be prepared to be more hated in future years for bearing witness to the name of Jesus. But do not be afraid. Be of good heart. Be of good cheer in the midst of this, even if there are more intense earthquakes. And then finally, also cosmic quakes, when the powers of the heaven will be shaken. In complete fulfillment at the end of this age, the final day of the Lord's final coming, in the advent of Advents, the Lord of Lords, all people present at that time will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You see, when we died in Adam and Eve, what we started with our falling into sin in the garden will be completely fulfilled. This present age's heaven and earth will pass away. But the words of Christ Jesus will not pass away. God's holy angels will complete the task of gathering God's elect, God's chosen people from the ends of the earth and the ends of heaven. Yet God and God alone will create new heavens and a new earth, new heavens and a new earth after our present heaven and earth pass away, even as Isaiah and others prophesy in the Old and the New Testament. This keeps with the words of Jesus that will not pass away. Only God the Father knows the day and the hour. Ours is not to calculate nor speculate. How to tell a false prophet really quickly. Anybody that says, I know when Jesus is coming back in this generation, is a false prophet. No. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. Ours is not to calculate nor speculate, but rather, what did you hear from the reading tonight? Jesus says to be on guard, to keep awake, to do all these things, to be on guard and awake spiritually. You're like a man gone on a journey. Our Lord and Master Jesus gives us, to each one of you, his bond servants, and to me, his treasured bond servants, his authority. He gives us his authority in our Master's household. Do you believe that? Do you see that? You are in the Master's household. You are given the authority by Jesus to serve him. And if we truly confess God come in the flesh, Jesus our Lord, he gives us work to do in the Christian household. Now we may ask, what has Jesus given you, each one of you specifically, for your work, your task, your job in God's economy? What has He given you to do? And if you're not sure, spend time with other Christian believers in God's Word. Ask the Lord to show you what He has gifted you to do in being wakeful, alert, on guard, spiritually watching and working with others in our Master's house. Of my prayers of thanksgiving, I am grateful for Emmanuel encouraging Pastor Dave in teaching Holy Scripture. How good for God's enduring Word to be studied in our men's and women's Bible studies and for many congregants who are reading and studying God's Word. And I encourage those of us who are not in the women's study of 1 Corinthians to also read the whole of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the believers in Corinth. As we heard this evening, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among the Corinthians. How is Christ's testimony confirmed among us here at Emmanuel North American Lutheran Church Mission Plant of Rochester? That's a question to chew on. How is Christ's testimony being worked and confirmed among us? By breathing His Holy Spirit into us, Jesus is working to pray with us in God's Word, with Isaiah even, to our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Potter, our Maker, shaping us as clay vessels, forming us for serving Him and serving others. We are encouraged to follow our Savior, the Lord, our Good Shepherd, and apply to our lives the Psalms like this evening's Psalm. And may we be confirmed and encouraged in our testimony from the lessons that the Spirit of Christ taught through His Apostle Paul that come alive to us in this day. And indeed, let's take to heart in these troubling times and these Advent years of our lives to respond to the need to first proclaim the gospel to all nations, remembering with the gospel writer Mark in our daily lives that even though this present heaven and earth are passing away, the words of Jesus will never pass away. Amen. We sing as we're able from the insert, the hymn after the sermon, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord."